Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice to us. Any worship or thanks we give to you won't do justice to how much Jesus gave for us or how much you loved us. But Lord, we pray today that we might grow just that little bit more in our understanding of the cross and be shaped more by it so that we might be like Jesus, giving our lives for others. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The musician Cher has a song, Turn Back Time, which goes, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that have hurt you and you would stay. More recently, the band Imagine Dragons, in their song Start Over, they sing, I never did you right, I know that. Too many sleepless nights, I own that. I said it time and time, I know that. I want to try again. Can we start over before it's over? I think these are lyrics that a lot of us can relate to, whether it is romance or family or friendships. We all have regrets with the way things have gone with some people. We all have relationships that we wish we could start over. When I think back on my life, I think of certain friendships that I used to have that have exploded or imploded or just faded into nothing. I think about family members who we don't talk to anymore because of my careless words or my pride or even just neglect. And I think we all have that. We have all burned bridges that we wish we could unburn. We've all said things that we wish we could unsay. It would be nice to be able to start over. If you read the Bible from front to back, one of the things that you would see is that the Bible is actually full of people who do start over. The Bible shows us Jacob and Esau, two brothers who hated each other, making amends and embracing each other. The Bible shows us Zacchaeus, a rich man who exploited the poor, but then gave his riches back to them and was welcomed back into his community. The Bible shows us Paul, a mass murderer and persecutor of the Christian church, who comes to preach the faith he once tried to destroy. When we read the Bible, we see that God is the master of reconciliation. God is the master of starting over. And if you want to start over with others, the best person you can learn from is the God who made you. And we see this so clearly on Good Friday. On Good Friday, we remember that Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to a Roman cross and he was left there to suffocate and to die. We remember this, but we also remember the reason why he died. Jesus died to reconcile us to God, to give us a fresh start with God, and that's what I hope that you see today. We're going to see that we need a fresh start with God, that Jesus gives us a fresh start with God, and that Jesus also gives us a fresh start with others. And so first, we need a fresh start with God. I'm going to read for us again Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Jesus has just been arrested. This is the day before he is crucified, and a man named Peter is following him. Then they seized him, that's Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now what we see here is Peter's sudden realization that he is actually not on Jesus' side. He always thought he was. He'd been with Jesus for about 3 years, following him, learning from him. He even boasted that he would rather die for Jesus than give up on him. But once Jesus is arrested, once execution is on the cards, we see what really drives Peter. we see Peter's fear. We see his fear of being arrested like Jesus, fear of being punished like Jesus. And Peter realizes that he loves himself more than he loves Jesus. Right? It just takes one thing to kind of bring everything else down. There's a famous shot in the movie Gladiator where Russell Crowe yells to the crowd, "Are you not entertained?" He's in the middle of a gladiator pit in ancient Rome. The set and the costumes looks all pretty faithful. But you might notice on the left that there is something out of place. There is a crew member there in the shot wearing a white t-shirt and jeans operating a camera. No, you didn't have those in the second century, right? It just takes one little detail to expose this entire thing as fake. And that is Peter with his denial of Jesus. He always thought he was on Jesus' side, but actually he wasn't. And that is us as well, isn't it? You know, I think about my life, right? More than 50% of the time, I reckon I'm fairly calm and composed. But every now and then, there will be an outburst against my family or against someone else that makes me think, you know, actually, I am a lot more cruel and hateful than I thought I was. Most of the time, I'm a decent enough driver, but there have been enough near misses, mistakes, and even charges that have led to me thinking, actually, I'm a lot more reckless and careless than I thought I was. And then just my own thoughts, the things that I dwell on, the things that I wish for in my heart of hearts that make me think, actually, you know, I'm a pretty selfish and horrible person. And I think that's all of us, right? We are trained by our legal system and by social media and the public statements that we see to say that these things are out of character, right? They are not the real me because they are so infrequent. But I want to push back on that just a little bit because Peter didn't do that. Peter owned it. That's why he wept at the end. It's when the pressure's on that reveals the true state of our hearts and our souls. They reveal that we're actually more like Peter than like Jesus. We are not actually on God's side. We are more driven by fear, by greed, by pleasure, by comfort, by respect, than by the love of the God who made us. As the hymn goes, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We have all betrayed God, and that rightly causes a rift between us and God. It makes God unhappy and angry with us, and that's just the natural response to being betrayed. We all need a fresh start with God. But despite our betrayal of God, despite us not being on God's side, God doesn't abandon us. In the Bible, one of the most common titles given to God is the title of Father, because God is a loving Father. He can take it when his children reject him. He still loves them and wants them to come back. And on Good Friday, we remember that God sent Jesus into the world so that we can have a fresh start with God. And that's what we see the next day after Peter denies Jesus, when Jesus is put on trial before the Roman governor Pilate, Luke chapter 23, verses 13 to 25. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. You read a passage like this, you cannot escape the message that Jesus did nothing wrong. A Pilate, the Roman governor, he says this outright. He cannot find any guilt in Jesus. Herod, the Jewish king, can't find any either. There is no case to make against him. Jesus was completely sinless. But it's one of the ironies of this passage that the king and the governor are not the ones in power here. It's the mob. And they have been stirred up by people who are jealous of Jesus to lobby their government to kill him. You can see just how little they care about justice here. Pilate even offers to punish Jesus for the crowd, even though Jesus has done nothing wrong, right? Pilate will give Jesus a flogging. Will that satisfy you? Will it satiate your bloodlust? But no, that is not unjust enough for them. They are so keen to see innocent Jesus die that they will be willing to let the criminal Barabbas go free. This was a Jewish custom that they had, kind of like the American presidential pardon. At this time of year, they could let one criminal go free. The correct choice here was Jesus, right? If anyone deserved to go free, it was him. But they deliberately choose Barabbas instead. And this is not any ordinary criminal we're talking about. Like, this is not a few unpaid parking fines or driving an unregistered vehicle, right? Verse 9, it says Barabbas was an insurrectionist and a murderer. He was basically a terrorist, and he gets to go free while the innocent man is killed. But before we get too offended by this miscarriage of justice, we might want to remember where we all stand in this. You know, it's easy for us to relate to Jesus. We are the ones hard done by. We are the ones who have been unfairly treated. But when you think about it, we're a lot closer to Barabbas. We are the ones who have rejected God. We are the ones who have decided to go our own way in life. We're the ones who have ignored God and now need a fresh start with him. We are not the innocent victims here. When it comes to God, we are Barabbas in this story. And once you recognize that, this bit of the Bible speaks a powerful message about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus was innocent. We were guilty. But Jesus was treated like he was guilty, while we are treated like we are innocent. Jesus is punished and we go free. And this is what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross for us. And this is the key message that Christians have for the world around them, that they can have a fresh start with God. Right? A lot of people have got this wrong. They think that Christians are all about showing the world how good they are and how everyone should be like Christians. That is not our main message. Our main message is not that we are good, it's that we're not good and that God still loves us anyway. And that our confidence with God is based on Jesus' goodness, not our own, because Jesus swapped himself for us. Now, I want you to imagine that you're Barabbas. Right after the events of this passage have taken place, right? Jesus has taken the cross that you deserve to be hung on. You are getting off scot-free. You have the chance for a fresh start. What would you do? You'd have two choices at that point, wouldn't you, right? You could abuse the chance you've been given. You could go back to terrorism, get arrested again, get punished again. Just prove that you have learned nothing. Or you could make the most of this new chance that Jesus has given you. You could turn your life around. You could live like you're actually grateful to Jesus for what he has done for you. You could live the life that you should, a life that follows the teachings and example of Jesus who gave himself for you. And all this means is that if you know that you need a fresh start with God, right? If you know that you haven't done the right thing by God, you know you need to get back with him, you don't want to be punished by him. Well, Jesus is saying to us that we can do that because Jesus has made the way open by dying for us. Getting right with God is not about doing more good things to balance out your bad things. We could never do that anyway. It's about trusting in what Jesus has done for us and accepting his gift of the swap that he gave to us when he put himself in our place. If you want to get right with God through Jesus, you can talk with me or the Christian who brought you after this service. Or if you want to know more, you can investigate this further. You can join our gospel course, which is coming up in May. We would love for you to know that freedom and peace and security that comes from knowing you are loved by God in Jesus. Because Jesus has given us a fresh start with God. But here's the thing. What Jesus did for us on Good Friday is not just for us and God. Right, that'd be enough. That'd be good enough. But the blessings of that actually spill over into the other areas of our lives as well. Jesus dying for our sins also gives us a fresh start with others. And for this, I want to point us to John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. This is after Jesus dies. He has been raised from the dead, which is what we're going to celebrate on Easter Sunday. Jesus appears to his disciples and he speaks to Peter, the man who denied him three times. And look what he says. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Every now and then I will stumble over my words. I will mix up the names of my son, my daughter, and my dog. I will tell my kids, "Clean up my room," instead of "Clean up your room." Or I will say, "Dinner's ready," when it's actually lunch. Right, we all do this. I think we all stumble over our words. If I just made one of these slips of the tongue, you'd probably notice, but you'd probably just put it down to an honest mistake and move on. Right? You probably wouldn't even point it out to me. If I did it three times in a row, though, you would probably think, "Nah, man, this is more than just a casual error." Right? This guy is serious about what he's saying. Peter denied Jesus three times. This was not just an innocent mistake. This was a deliberate betrayal of Jesus out of fear of what the people would do to him. But what we see in this passage is Jesus forgiving and restoring Peter. Jesus gives Peter three opportunities to say that he loves Jesus. He's undoing the three betrayals from a few days ago. And Peter three times says that he loves Jesus. He shows he's serious. This is not a mistake. He is sorry for what he has done. He wants a fresh start with Jesus, and Jesus gives it. He says to Peter, "Follow me." They're starting over. And I think this is a great model for how we can get a fresh start with others in life. Perhaps people in our lives who have hurt us, or maybe people whom we have hurt, people we've had a falling out with. A fresh start starts with what's going on here, which is what the Bible calls repentance and forgiveness. Repentance is what we see from Peter. Peter is undoing the sin that he did. He is turning away from it, resolving not to do it again, because he knows that it hurts Jesus and others. Forgiveness is what we see from Jesus. It's not like Jesus forgets, right? He's Jesus. He doesn't forget, but he doesn't count Peter's sin against him. He resolves not to weaponize it against Peter again. He says instead, "Let's start over." And so if you want to start over with someone else, the best advice I can give you is to take repentance and forgiveness to the table. To repent, to say sorry for what you did to hurt the other person. Be prepared to make amends if needed. Resolve not to do it again. And also to forgive. Be ready to move on from the past if the other person repents also. This doesn't always work, I've got to say, right? The other person might not want to repent. They might not want to forgive. But the best chance you have for a fresh start is if you do what you need to do from your side. And I've got to say, even though I just said it doesn't always work, for the most part, it does. You know, I've seen the beauty of repentance and forgiveness and restoration and healing over and over again in my family, in my church, in my friendships. It's an awesome feeling to be forgiven and to forgive. And I owe that to what Jesus has done for me and me trying to do the same thing to others. Can I encourage you to try it too? Jesus gives us a fresh start with others. Jesus is our crucified King. We remember this on Good Friday. But more than just the fact of his death is what his death achieved. He went to die the death that Barabbas deserved, and he went to die the death that we deserved, so that we could start over with God, so that we could repent and be forgiven by God, and also so that we could have that same pattern in the way that we forgive others. God's call to all of us, whether you're not a Christian or whether you've been a Christian for ages, his call to us all is be reconciled to God. Believe that Jesus died for you. Say sorry for your sins and turn away from them. And know that you have a fresh start with God. Let me pray that we'll do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to remember that your Son Jesus came into the world out of love for us. He didn't need to, but he loved us. Thank you that he came into our world and lived that perfect life, and that he died the death that we deserved so that we could have a fresh start with you. Lord, we thank you that even though we were deserving of death and hell, Jesus took that punishment for us and instead of us so that we did not need to take it. And Lord, we pray now that we have this fresh start, that we may not abuse the grace that you have given us. Please help us instead to be grateful to you and to your Son Jesus for what you have provided for us. Please help us to respond to you with repentance and forgiveness, with worship. And Lord, we pray that this forgiveness that you have given to us may be a great model for the way that we forgive others as well. And we pray that in this way, the love of your Son Jesus may spread throughout the world. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.